Let us join with one another in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
My dear brothers and sisters, since the beginning of Lent until now, we have prepared our hearts by penance and charitable works. Today we gather together to herald with the whole Church the beginning of the celebration of our Lord's Paschal mystery, that is to say, of his passion and resurrection. For it was to accomplish this mystery that he entered his own city of Jerusalem. Therefore, with all faith and devotion, let us commemorate the Lord's entry into the city for our salvation, following in his footsteps, so that being made by his grace partakers of the cross, we may have a share also in his resurrection and in his life. Now, would you please hold up your palm branches for the prayer of blessing? Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, sanctify these branches with your blessing, that we who follow Jesus Christ, the King of in exaltation, may reach the eternal Jerusalem through him who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus and his disciples drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately on entering it, you will find a colt tethered on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone should say to you, 'Why are you doing this?' reply, 'The master has need of it, and will send it back here at once.' So they went off and found a colt tethered at the gate outside on the street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' They answered them just as Jesus had told them, and they were permitted to do so. So they brought the colt to Jesus and put their cloaks over it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches, and they had cut from the fields. Those preceding him as well as those following kept crying out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is to come. Hosanna in the highest.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Jesus Christ. We begin this Holy Week in a spirit of prayer and reflection. When we hear the passion of Christ, may we remember that Jesus still cries out in the sick and dying, and is still nailed to many crosses. We are here in the hope of repenting, awakening, and seeing him in the poor and crucified of earth. Lord, help us to realize that all that Jesus endured is a measure of your love for us. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. "The Lord has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned my back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame." The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. "Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The word of the Lord.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him, for they said,
"Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people."
While Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke it open, the jar, and poured the ointment over his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger,
"Why was the ointment wasted in this way?
For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii,
and the money given to the poor."
And they scolded her. But Jesus said,
"Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me, for you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, the disciples said to Jesus,
"Where do you want us to go
and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?"
So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them,
"Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there."
So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, Jesus came with the 12, and when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said,
"Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me."
They began to be distressed and to say to him one after another,
"Surely not I."
"It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born."
While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it and broke it, he gave it to them and said,
"Take, this is my body."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them,
"This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them,
"You will all become deserters, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
Even though all become deserters, I will not."
"Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times."
But he said vehemently,
"Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you."
And all of them said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake."
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him.
"Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want."
Jesus came and found him sleeping, and he said to Peter,
"Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with him. There were a crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying,
"The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard."
So when he came, he went up to Jesus at once and said,
"Rabbi,"
and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them,
"Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me, as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled."
All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following Jesus, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and as he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying,
"We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands."
But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then a high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus,
"Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?"
But he was silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him,
"Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?"
"I am, and you will see the Son of God seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven."
Then a high priest tore his clothes and said,
"Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?"
All of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him,
"Prophesy."
The guards also took him over and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said,
You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth.
But he denied it, saying,
I do not know or understand what you are talking about.
And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed. And the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders,
This man is one of them.
But again he denied it. Then after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter,
Certainly you are one of them, for you are the Galilean.
But he began to curse, and he swore an oath.
I do not know this man you are talking about.
At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he broke down and wept. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him,
Are you the king of the Jews?
You say so.
Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again,
Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you?
But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, Pilate used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them,
Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?
For he realized it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them. Pilate spoke to them again.
Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?
And they shouted back,
Crucify him.
Pilate asked them,
Why? What evil has he done?
But they shouted all the more,
Crucify him.
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, and they began saluting him.
Hail, King of the Jews!
They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, The King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
You would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourself and come down from the cross.
In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying,
He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now. So that we may see and believe.
Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,
which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
Listen, he is calling out for Elijah.
And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying,
Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down.
Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last.
Where can
curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. Now when the centurion, who stood facing him, saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly, this man was God's son."
There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee. And there are many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that Jesus was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid.
Battery, and of course the purpose of the battery is to give electricity to an appliance or a gadget, right? It has to be connected to that appliance or gadget, right, to provide what it's supposed to. So I thought that, you know, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, it's called Palm Sunday for a reason, because we get to take palms home with us. They are blessed now. They're called sacramentals, like holy water or ashes that we use on Ash Wednesday. That means that this needs to be connected not to an electrical outlet or to an appliance, but to faith. To faith, to our life journey. So we just heard the passion of the Lord, and of course it reminds us that like this palm, it can bend different ways. It doesn't matter to it. It can bend right or left. But this palm, and the reason why we take it home, that we need to be mindful of what happened there as the Lord was crucified, that different people bent different ways. Pilate, Judas, Peter, who denied Jesus, they bent in the wrong way. They didn't witness, they didn't do what was the right thing. There were, however, some people who bent the right way, in the right way. The woman that came and anointed Jesus' head when he was having dinner at his friend's house. Simon of Cyrene. Then finally, the Roman centurion, who after witnessing how Jesus died, said, "Truly, this man is God's son," which ultimately is the purpose of life, to make that profession that this is Jesus, this is truly God's son that we love, that we follow. So, you know, life will be full of challenges. We will be challenged like the palm, to bend, to live either the right, in the right way or in the wrong way. Today, tomorrow, every day will provide many opportunities. What will happen? How will we use them? We have to make that connection. We have to put this palm somewhere when we come home where we can see it, where it will remind us of what our life should be about, how we need to not bend right or left, but in the right way, only hopefully in the right way, never in the wrong way. We know how much Jesus suffered. We just heard how cruelly he was treated, how crowds originally bent in the right way, saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, greeting Jesus as the Messiah, and then a few days later, bending in the wrong way, asking for his death, crucify him, release Barabbas for us. So, innocent beyond doubt, Jesus died for our sins, humbled himself, emptied himself. And so as we celebrate this Palm Sunday, let us remember what we should do, how we should truly honor the passion of our Lord, always living in the right way, never in the wrong way. So this is Holy Week, so of course I would like to invite you, and this is very vital for our spiritual growth, to take time to come to church again on Holy Thursday, when Jesus will invite us to the upper room for the Last Supper, where he washed the feet of his disciples, a humble gesture, very powerful for our life journey. Then to come again on Good Friday. Good Friday is the only day when there is no Mass, obviously, because Jesus died on the cross on Good Friday. We will hear the Passion again from John's Gospel, reminding us how Jesus died again. And then finally, either on Easter Saturday, Holy Saturday for the Easter Vigil to come, or Easter Sunday to come to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. Very vital for our spiritual growth, for understanding better every year what salvation is and what Jesus was willing to endure, to accomplish, and to offer us the gift of salvation. So have a very blessed Holy Week. And as we continue with this celebration, let us remember why we carry these palms home and what they should remind us of.
Thanks for listening to this week's service. To stay up to date on the latest news involving our parish, please visit our website at goodshepherd-sc.org.